Okay, here we are, common ground. Sherry, I think we're getting too used to this by now. You know, remember when we started about 10 weeks ago, we didn't know what was going on. Now we're just sitting here very casually okay, when's this thing going to start? And then Mark points his finger at us and here we go. Well, welcome our audience. And we thank our audience because it's just growing by the week. It's incredible. In fact, over the last 24 hours on our vaccine show, we had over 330 new listeners. So our show is not only listened to live, and we thank you for all those that are listening live, but our growth over the next 7 to 15 days after we run a show has just been incredible. And we want to thank all our viewers and listeners for that. And want to stress again what Common Ground's all about. We're not a debate show, we're a discussion show. Just like our tagline says, we discuss, you decide. And that's what we try and bring, a round table together here with individuals representing two sides. We'll discuss it and we'll let our audience decide, and Sherry and I will moderate. So we want to continue on that premise that we've started. I just want, for those people that are listening live and want to hear our other shows, if you go to our website, commongroundtx.com, you can pick up all our past shows. Please listen to them, and they do. We are extending listeners every week. We are also looking for our upcoming show. We need some guests. We're having some hard time getting some guests on the following: legalization of marijuana. That would be really cool if we could find someone that's totally against legalizing marijuana. We can't find anybody for that.
We
can't. Texas, right? In Texas, we can't find somebody.
I would really like to have someone and for that's the ag.
We're talking about recreational marijuana, not medicinal.
You should try some of the police departments.
We've tried.
Everyone. Nobody will come on. We are looking for Sid Miller. Yes, Sid Miller, our elected official. We would love to have you come on our show.
Yes, we need somebody from the ag group of Texas to get in here and
tell
represent.
Them about what?
What do you mean?
Tell them the topic. What do we need them for?
Well, we've decided not to go towards legalizing because we realize that's kind of already happening. We want to do more of what it looks like. And I think the farmers of Texas have a valid
yeah,
position.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine how much
and reading up, trying to get guests for legalization, I have found there have been mistakes in other states, like obvious mistakes. And I'd really just like to see that area have representation in that decision in the state of Texas.
We also, what's big in the news now, we want to have a show on vaping. Yes. Trying to find someone, you know, in favor of vaping. You would think with that industry growing, there'd be plenty of people, but we can't get anybody. Transgender in sports. We want to bring that to the forefront. The minimum wage, which is a big issue right
minimum
now. We
wage,
see that
yes.
in the Democratic primary. So these are things we're trying to get guests. If you know of anybody that you think would be of interest, or you're interested in it, or you pursue that passion, please contact Sherry or myself at our email, noskin.commonground@gmail.com. And Sherry, yours is?
solace.commonground@AT&T.net.
Or private messenger us on
Facebook,
our Facebook page. Right. Okay. So here we are. We've got a great show today. Gun control, it's in the news everywhere. Trump was talking about it the other day, and we hear politicians during the primary talk about it. We've got two great, amazing guests. Thank you for coming in. We have Lauren Daugherty here, who's a council member of City of Allen, right? And you moved from California a year or so ago, and look at you.
Congratulations.
No, it was 14
Sorry,
years ago.
Sorry, 14 years ago. You're on city council.
I was like, she moved fast.
Yeah. Yeah, you joined city council 2018,
right?
So thank you so much for coming in. And we have Jera Hutchins in here. And I read a little bit about you with what you're doing for single moms and low-income women and teaching them about guns and safety and protect themselves. Very interesting. So we're going to get it going right away. We'll give you a couple minutes. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and your position. So, Lauren, just tell us about yourself and your position relating to this topic.
Well, let's see. Like you said, I've lived here 14 years. Both my kids were born here. Married to my husband, Brian. He's from Indiana. And I did grow up in California. Well, he went to Rice University, so he's an owl. Both my kids were born in Allen. So lived in Allen for 14 years. And
what part of California are you from?
Southern California, Palos Verdes.
Okay, it's beautiful.
Yes.
It's absolutely beautiful
there. It's a beautiful place to grow up. Do you miss the weather there? Absolutely.
You mean you don't like the 105?
Right.
I don't do well. And I think growing up there, my body didn't get used to the extreme temperatures. So like, when it's 72, I'm you know, I'm good.
It's honestly not a fair trade from the weather perspective. You got the short end of the stick on the deal.
Well, we moved here from Santa Barbara, and that's nice. That is just a stunningly beautiful place
to
live.
Yeah, my nephew goes to UC Santa Barbara. Really nice campus.
Really, yeah. They have surfing for their, you know, PE.
Oh, yeah. Right. How do you beat that, California boys? So, and tell us your position on gun control.
Well, I think we need to institute a little bit more of it. There are a lot of different options, and I think some combination of them would definitely have an impact on the gun violence crisis that we're having in this country. And, you know, we look at other countries, and they've instituted some of these policies, and they've seen their violent crime rates go down significantly afterwards. And I think that we can use those best practices here.
Okay, that gives us a brief description. And Jared, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your Wade organization, and that's your group, right, Wade?
Mm-hmm.
And your position on gun control.
I am a firearms and self-defense instructor. I've been teaching for 9 years, and I specialize in women and youth. I think it's really important that we especially set our daughters up for success when they go out into the world on their own and they're not under the blanket of our protection. A big issue that I've found when I teach classes, when I put classes out, is I get a lot of women that come to me and say, I would love to take that class. It's very interesting to me, but I can't afford it. And the Second Amendment isn't just for people who can afford it. It's for everyone. It's for every minority. It's for gender, every gender. It's for anybody, no matter what they identify as. It's for you. It's your right to life. And so I started WADE, the Women's Awareness and Defense Endeavor, last year to kind of combat that and kind of get that education to everybody that wants it. As far as my stance on gun control, I think we have enough of it. And I think that we really need to bring logic into this conversation, as well as emotion and compassion, so that we can really get to the bottom of the why. I think that's
a great place to start and get the compassion out of it. Let's get to the reality of it. Let's go right in then and talk about automatic weapons. I mean, I think that most of us
right in there.
We're going to go right in. So I think I'm a concealed handgun license carrier myself, and I believe personally, even though I'm not supposed to say that in personal rights of carrying a gun, but I think the question with gun control is, okay, and Lauren, please, if you disagree with me, to carry personally may be one thing, but maybe it gets out of line with the automatic weapon. So let's just talk about that briefly. So Gerald, what's your position on, you know, having these automatic weapons that are most prevalent in these mass shootings?
I like that you use the word briefly.
Well, if I'm gonna answer that question, the one thing that we have, I think one thing that the gun community combats on the daily is misinformation in the media, because if we're frank, the media doesn't know what they're talking about when it comes to guns. And so automatic weapons are rarely used in mass shootings. They're almost always semi-automatic weapons, and it's important to understand the difference. Automatic weapons have been outlawed by the Brady Bill since the 80s.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So you're saying that these...
We're not going to leave that at that, are we?
No, but I'm saying... Go ahead. Put in your point then, Sherry. Go ahead. What are you going
to
say about
that? Well, we probably need to go to another section where we talk about bump stocks, though.
Well, yeah, bump stocks have been outlawed.
Because we can pretend like they're outlawed and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah, well, anything could happen on the black market, though, right?
I don't need to know about laws or black market. I know what I see on the news when folks are dying, and sometimes they are not, just not.
So what do you think we should do with, like, AR-15s and AK-47s? I mean, are you saying that they're okay to have because to protect, as it is in the Constitution, to protect yourself or to be ready as a militia? Is that where your position comes in, that we should be able to have these weapons?
It is not the weapon. It is the person. The decision to kill is made before the weapon is ever chosen. And so if we continue to, and I certainly want to give her some time
we'll
to comment
time
on this,
sure.
But if we chip away at the Second Amendment any more than we already have, we're going to lose it. And that's really my fear. And we can't, you know, when it comes to mass shootings, listen, they're tragic. Nobody is saying that this doesn't suck, okay? But what we're saying is that if we really get into the numbers, mass shootings are actually in statistically a rare occurrence, and it's not worth stepping on the liberties of 327 million Americans over the decisions of some disturbed people to take lives. And the way that we combat that is through education, changing hearts and minds, and encouraging our communities to get good defense educations and change their mindset on this.
And Lauren, what do you think
about that? I was
going to
say, I want to hear.
No, that's a lot. Well, for the semi-automatic weapons, let me start, go back. When they say that guns don't kill people, people kill people, there's actually been a lot of studies that show that holding a weapon in your hand or even having one accessible has an effect on people. I can't remember what they call it, something like the trigger effect or something like that. But there are actually a lot of studies that show that having a weapon available to you does actually impact your decision whether or not to pull the trigger. So the gun itself does have an impact. And what we saw in Dayton was that even the good guy with the gun was unable to prevent 9 people's murders. So I think the semi-automatic weapons definitely need to be revisited, because if this man had had, you know, I'm not a gun enthusiast, so I don't know what the term is for a non-semi-automatic weapon, just a regular pistol that doesn't...
They're all semi-automatic. I mean, it's just full auto. Fully automatic is you pull the trigger, many bullets come out. Semi-auto is you pull the trigger, one bullet comes out.
Okay,
that's it.
Well, I don't know what...
It just loads, that's all, right? Jared just reloads semi-automatic?
Yeah, basically.
It's just one bullet per trigger pull. That's the only difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
So something that can't shoot as quickly, maybe, or doesn't have as many bullets, you know, as many bullets in the chamber, something like that, just so that we don't have people that are going around being able to kill so many people in such a quick amount of time. There are very few weapons that can murder 9 people in 30 seconds. I mean, other than a bomb, I guess, which, you know, since we outlawed, or since the Oklahoma City bomber, they made adjustments to what is available. And
so what is your position?
I have a chemistry degree and I can make you a pipe bomb right now. I really feel like the issue here, and I get what you're saying, and the sentiment is good. I really don't disagree with the sentiment, but what you're talking about now is you're getting down to physics and physical reaction, and your reaction when an active shooter comes into play, it's not about if somebody is going to get hurt or killed. It's about how many. And your reaction is never going to be faster than their action unless your situational awareness is on point. And that's where the defense education comes into play. I didn't mean to kick you. I'm sorry.
I think let me put this in there. I think the gun control topic is not just focused at mass shootings. I know that's like what everybody is kind of semi-reacting to. Haha, pun intended.
There you go.
That's what they're reacting to, but this is much larger than just mass shootings.
Right.
Because there was some comments on the Facebook thread, you know, somebody was saying it's not just about the mass shootings, and everybody kept trying to say, oh, well, we need to do something. Well, mass shootings are this. Well, it's not just a mass shooting conversation, in my opinion.
Right. I think 2/3 of gun violence deaths are suicides.
And accidental deaths. What are the numbers? I don't even know what the numbers are.
Well, yeah, the suicide rate, I did look that up, but it says that gun control laws and lower gun ownerships do not prevent suicide. In fact, they pointed to a study where in Lithuania, which has one of the lowest gun ownership rates, has one of the highest suicide rates. So, and same with Japan. They have a low ownership rate of 0.6 guns per 100 people and a high suicide rate of 18.41 suicide. So I think that's been put aside. But my point here is, what is your position as far as gun ownership? Let's start at that base. I know I dove right in there on automatic weapons or semi-automatic weapons. So what is your position? Do you feel that people have a right as a Second Amendment to personally arm themselves? Let's start at that basic, and then we can grow it from there into other avenues.
Yeah, I mean, the Supreme Court said in Heller in 2008 that there is an individual right to own guns. So that's the stance of the Supreme Court, and I don't have an argument with that. We do.
There you go. Good
job, Jared.
So we're okay with carrying pistols. Okay, go ahead.
Well, we're okay with the right.
That was a jump.
We'll talk about background checks in a second.
I was going to say the right to own them.
Right.
Whether or not you carry them around in public, that's an entirely different conversation, I think. But no,
Constitution carry, you mean? Or just outside
the belt?
Well,
not Constitution carry, because that's very different than...
Right. The Supreme Court has not affirmed that. They have said that regulation of weapons is absolutely within the rights of the states and the federal government, I believe. Okay. So
where is your position then, as far as, is it the mental health position that's now in the news? Is it?
No, absolutely not. Okay. I mean, there are, again, studies have shown that there is no relationship between mental health and gun violence. And in fact, people with who have been diagnosed with mental disorders, whatever the terminology is, are much more likely to be the victims of gun violence than to be the perpetrators.
All right, Jarrah,
I was
going to
say,
Jarrah,
you know, yeah,
let's hear
Jarrah's
part on that one.
Yay, that's what I was hoping for.
I would say that she's right. I've read these studies to a point. People who are outwardly mentally ill are scary to a normal person, right? So I can totally see that side of it. I live in a neighborhood in Fort Worth where I'm right by a hospital, right? So there's a lot of like mentally ill people that are coming out and they're breaking into people's cars and breaking into people's homes. So at that point, you have to think about, okay, now, so, I mean, just because they're mentally ill, does that mean that they get to do these things? Like, do we have to give them special consideration when they break into our cars and homes, you know, in our neighborhoods? But I am about concentrating more on, you know, mental health as a whole. I think we need to do that. But we're kidding ourselves if we sit here and say that someone that goes into a Walmart in El Paso and shoots up people isn't mentally ill. There's something wrong with that person. Okay. Wow. There's something wrong with that person. And that's a thing that we need to start talking about too. So, you know, she mentioned earlier too about, you know, somebody taking, you know, having a gun in their hand, the trigger effect is what she called it. Of course it does. Because it, when you learn how to effectively, yes, there we go. Wow. When you learn how to effectively use a weapon, and it doesn't just have to be a gun, when you learn how to effectively defend yourself, it does change you, right? It does rise your confidence. So it's not the trigger effect to the point where you hold a gun in your hand and all of a sudden you feel all this power and you want to just go kill people. It's about the educational piece that comes with that. So I'm building a gun range with, you know, I'm helping out Joseph and Jared Stanier, who
has a plug,
been in this business forever, you know, and they really had this dream of, you know, really building a good educational facility for their community because they feel like this is a point of contention, you know, in society. And it is about the education that comes behind the firearm.
So let me ask a question since you talked about the gun range process. If as a gun range owner, you have people that come in, because I was speaking earlier about how to some degree, you know, gun ownership in some minds is more like an accessory. Like I was raised East Texas country mom, and you know, we could have loaded guns in the room as children and you just knew it was a way of life. But I have to admit, I've been in some areas of conversation where I just want to shake my head and I'm like, oh my gosh. So what do you have to say? Oh, looky there. Well,
I think we've had more common ground on this show already than
what do you do as a gun range owner when you see that?
So it's sometimes it's really tough, and I think that this is probably a lot of where she's coming from, is sometimes it's very tough to compartmentalize somebody's rights.
Right.
Versus maybe their logic or intellectual ability to be able to comprehend something that's very serious. And so you have to remember, I teach people guns every day, and don't think I don't leave sometimes going, you know?
Right.
And so you have to, but it's not about giving up on that person. It's about instilling into them, right? Just like an educator would, just like a teacher in a school would, right? With your problem kids, you can't just give up on them. You have to change hearts and minds, right? So it's like, that's what I love about the show.
Lauren,
is like, I'm not here to win a debate, right? I'm not
discussion.
Here to do that or a discussion.
Yeah,
we don't
like the word.
That's
debate.
Not what I'm here to do. I want to win people for liberty, right? And the biggest issue that we have right now is that this whole country needs to take a deep breath, okay, and go, listen, we got to bring logic into this too, because it's obviously an emotional, terrible, tragic thing when people die in these circumstances. But we also have to defend and continue to keep our liberties. And a lot of times when we're defending our liberties, we're doing it in the middle of someone's worst pain. And that's the problem. And then people go, oh, well, you're furthering an agenda and you're just using this situation to, you know, further your narrative. And yes, that's what both sides are doing, because both sides desperately want people to see the pain on this one side and the need for liberty and the need and the want and the desire to be able to combat this evil at the same time. And it's such a hard thing for people to do. And then social media just, you know, just expounds that, you know, and just builds upon that and inflates it.
A lot of passion here.
Yeah, so yeah. Lauren, right? Lauren to jump in on this. Yep. What do
well,
you?
Well, I mean, I think you're talking about education. Take vehicles, for example. They always get thrown into the mix when you're talking about guns. You know, we have tons of car accidents, and why aren't we taking away cars? But the thing is, with cars, in order to get a driver's license, you have to go through an educational process, and then you have to be licensed by the state. So that's an example of a regulation that could potentially educate people on the proper use and the proper storage, and common sense requirements for being a responsible gun owner, right? Is this process of education and licensing through the state.
So background checks, is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about having a state or a federal organization, sort of like the DMV, where you would go through an educational process that's required, just like you do to get a driver's license, and then you get licensed by the state, and you occasionally have to renew. Then there are always laws and police that are following to make sure that you are following those laws. And traffic laws, for example, have reduced traffic.
Seatbelts.
Traffic, yeah.
We added seatbelts.
Right, I remember, to
put a seatbelt on.
I remember when they added seatbelt laws and it actually reduced death enormously, right?
What does Jarrah think about the federal government getting involved?
It's tied to the number two.
So a couple different things, right? You can choose not to drive. You can choose not to have a driver license. You never have to go through that process, right? So you can also choose to be a gun owner or choose not to be a gun owner. I've often said, much to the dismay of the Second Amendment community, that the only measure of gun control I would ever even consider supporting, hear me, I'm not saying I'm doing it, okay, would be an educational component.
I like what she's saying.
That is
like
the only thing I would ever even consider supporting. But then I also have to think about the fact that, you know, I'm a fan of liberty. I like being free.
I'm a fan of liberty too, but did our founding fathers and the authors, did they ever foresee where we are right now?
Yes, they did. 100% they did. Absolutely.
We have all kinds of laws in this country, and we're still free. We just have to have laws in order to have a civil society, right?
But we have so many. There's like, what, 22,000 gun laws? Right? Why don't we just enforce the ones that we already have? Do you know the conviction rate for straw purchases is less than 1%?
Well,
crack down on that.
Yeah, I think that enforcing those we have would be good, but I think that we need to have more consistency across the states, because you can go to another state and find
enforcing laws
stricter. Well, but you can go to another state and their laws are really lax, and then, you know, there's no border patrol.
Yeah,
in
so what do you think about that,
Jarrah,
with the
different
states?
To prevent you from walking across the state line.
There are different state requirements, and that kind of makes it like a slippery slope for some states that have more regulatory processes for getting a gun than other states that make it really easy. Like, you know, you hear about, you know, people getting guns at these gun shows, and should we really improve upon
There's no gun show loophole. I'm really, like, that's so funny to me.
That's good that you're bringing that up. So tell
so
us your
funny
perspective
to me.
On that.
When you start talking about the gun show loophole and people being able to sell firearms as it's your personal property. So now you're getting into personal property rights. Okay. Most firearms that are used in any crime are stolen from idiotic people that leave their firearms in their vehicles overnight. Okay. Don't do that. If you're a gun owner and you're hearing me right now, take your gun out of your car at nighttime into your home with you. Don't leave it out there to arm criminals, okay? They know it's there. They're going to get it, okay? And or they are straw purchases, which conviction rate less than 1%, right? Crack down on that. Now, when we talk about these things, criminals don't go through natural ways of buying guns like normal people do. So this is why your laws are going to be ineffective, and they will be ineffective. Already been proven. I mean, you go to any major city that has, or any major state that has really, really strict gun laws, and it has not decreased gun crime. So Chicago is a perfect example. It's not going to work. So we're wasting all this time going and creating new laws and new ways of doing this when we should just be enforcing and allowing our law enforcement to enforce the laws that are already on the books and make those punishments stick.
Lauren, what do you have to say? Go on, girl. Get
I'm sorry.
In
I'm really
there.
Used to listening because, you know, as a council member, that's what you
I want to hear
you
what's
listen
on
to what
all
other
these
people
pages.
Have to say. Yeah. The concept of criminals are always going to get their hands on a gun. Well, here's a fact. Laws like background checks stop gun sales to criminals every day. Over the last 20 years, these laws have blocked 3 million gun sales to people who could not legally own guns.
But what was the reason that they couldn't legally own them? Was it something? Was it a small infraction or was it a large thing? Right? Because I've been selling guns every day for the last 7 years and I've literally seen maybe 5 NICS check denials and I sell. Right. And
well,
I mean,
go back to what we were talking about before we came on the show is I rather than anecdotal evidence, I always like to go back to studies and data that is really broad and a wide net. So this is the data that I have. And
so
when I hear personal anecdotal evidence, you know, that's your experience, but that is not necessarily
statistically
significant.
You know, the government, as Jared pointed out, and I'll just go through a few of these gun control history actions, basically from 1938 with the Federal Firearms Act through the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act in 1993. And then further, Obama put in a few more federal regulatories, the National Instant Criminal Background Check. I mean, aren't there are enough federal procedures in place now to make sure that people that get guns, in your opinion, are safe to have
them? I mean, clearly not, because we have a 25 times higher homicide rate than the rest of the developed world. So something is going wrong.
If the data says it prevented however million prevented these people that shouldn't get them, what would happen if we just made these background checks a little more rigid? Could we say that would prevent that many more? I'm not saying 86, those that have the right. There's a different, I think that's the conversation that needs to be had is, you know, I don't think it's ideal to 86 the Second Amendment just because it's a part of what America is. But I don't think as Americans, we should just sit and be like, okay, we're just going to watch this happen if we have the abilities to maybe influence it. Am I wrong?
Well,
somebody
we're not.
Tell me.
I mean, so her study, so here's how you can move around that study, right? That might be true, okay? But how many of those people went out and got a gun and committed a crime anyway?
But we can't control that.
Exactly.
But also,
so
if you
exactly.
go...
Laws in general do impact people's behavior. And there's been study after study that shows that when you have a law, it actually does reduce whatever it is that law is trying to prevent.
For law-abiding
now,
people.
Well, but you become
for people who respect
if there's
law.
A law, and if there's a law, then you respect the law. You know, I mean, for
so
example,
so the people
with
that go
belts,
into mass shootings
example,
don't respect law.
But as you said, that was a very small percentage of the people. And when you reduce the number of guns that are available in general, then it makes it more difficult for everybody to
but
get
law-abiding
a gun.
People guns. Aren't the ones that are doing these things.
So
but
if you're
you
law-abiding,
Lauren,
then
go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you're a law-abiding person, then why does it matter if we add another law or two? You're law-abiding. You'll
yeah.
abide
well,
by the new
that,
law.
That perspective, well, that would be like you're restricting personal freedoms by adding layers.
Exactly.
I mean, we
and
do that for every
step on
right.
Liberties.
Look at freedom of speech. That's in our First Amendment, right? The very First Amendment. We can't just say whatever we want whenever we want. There are libel laws. There are copyright laws.
Right.
There are
slander
laws. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. I mean, every True. Single right that we have is restricted.
Well, that could be another show because you could talk about what Canada's doing and they're restricting our First Amendment type of laws differently in Canada. Now you can't even say anything out loud without possibly going to jail. But bringing it back to gun control, if you take a look at, and again, I'm not giving my opinion on it, but if you look at Mexico, which has the strictest gun control in the world, they have one of the highest murder rates by guns, 11,309.
Mexico's got a lot more going on
they're
than just a gun issue.
But
that's
getting
still
their
a
guns
statistic.
From America. Hey, most of their guns are being
statistic.
Imported illegally from
okay.
America.
How about New Zealand? How about England?
I was just saying Mexico.
I mean, the crime rates have gone up. The weapon of choice now in England for murders are knives. Okay, so they took all the guns away. So now all these murderers are getting knives.
Exactly.
So,
they're yes, going to find something. And the average human being can clear 21 feet with a gun in less than 1.5 seconds. And believe me, me, they can do mass murder just as easily.
But I'm saying, I mean,
you can't kill nine people with a knife in 30
seconds. Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Oh, 100% you
can. Well, you have to be, you have to agree that you have to be more skilled than with the gun,
right? It is much, much more difficult to kill nine people.
Do you know how hard it is to, do you know how hard it is to shoot a moving target with a firearm?
I do. I do. And do you know how often I have envisioned some fool approaching me in a shopping center parking lot as a mom, you know, like, there's reason I take a kickboxing class, and I'm not
being
naive
to guns
in
a second, but how about automobiles? If you really want to talk about killing a lot of people, I mean, you just France.
I wanted to go back to automobiles, so let's talk about that. Back in the day when the automobile was first created, anybody could drive it. You could be any age, whatever. And as that has evolved, so has kind of the borders of what is ideal and safe. Is it at all possible that the only reason that we haven't done the same evolution with guns is because it's literally attached to the Second Amendment?
We have had the same evolution with guns. 22,000 laws on the books.
So,
but Texas is loosening regulations this year.
I mean,
why did I watch
novelty, right? I mean, taking churches off the restricted list isn't really evolving. I mean, you've always been able to carry in a church for a while.
So,
if you were licensed.
Lauren, is the answer, should we go after our legislators and leaders to ask them to be, like she said, enforce? Like, is that an issue?
We definitely can enforce existing laws, but I think that we need to have consistent laws throughout the country. Because like I said, we don't live, the state line is not the same as the border with another country. You know, you can walk across the state line and enjoy the rights or the new laws that you have in that other state. So, and then you can come back with whatever gun purchase that you made, and there's nobody at the state line.
Or you can
going
cross the state
you.
Line and have your liberties taken away from you, like in California. I mean, it works both ways.
Well, I don't see it as a liberty being taken away. You still have the ability to own a gun and to.
When I go and travel in California, I can't have my gun with me because they don't recognize my carry permit, which puts me in danger.
Yeah, that's not good.
And at that point, you know,
did you know that I got frisked outside? I got frisked outside of a bar in California, which is totally against my liberty, because I used my concealed carry permit as an ID to get into a bar because my wallet had been stolen and I did not have my driver license. So stepping all over liberties over here.
Yeah, but okay, is that California or is that the person that was doing it?
We're going to take a hard break here. We usually break at 30 minutes. There's 27 minutes left in the show. I do have to recognize our sponsors because they help promote our show, just like gave that plug. I have to give a couple plugs right now. So our show is sponsored by our premier sponsor, Elevated Roofing, which is probably the largest roofer in North Texas. They do a ton of work in Allen, by the way.
No,
they're just
thank
all
you,
over
Elevated
the place.
Roofing.
Elevated Roofing, tremendous company. And they provide the full service. They just don't do your roof, but they do the gutters. They have a painting division. They have a gutter. I said gutters. They have a painting division. When I did my house, they painted my fence over, brand new gutters, brand new vents, and they actually matched the color of the vents to my house, to the trim, which you really don't see. And these guys, like I mentioned in previous shows, they don't come when the hail damage, you know, Lauren, when there's hail damage and they get the roofers knocking at your door like every other one, like car sales.
And that's like every other week around here. Right. There's hail, right?
I mean,
they
often
don't do that. They go by word of mouth, and that's probably why they're probably the largest in the area, because they just do a tremendous job. Their follow-up, their service. I mean, they're still following up with me over a month and a half later to make sure that I was happy and everything's good. So just shout out to Elevated Roofing. If you need a new roof, thinking about a roof, please call Elevated Roofing at 469-200-0582. Speak to James Honeycutt, Kenny Gammons. Also, we are sponsored by Porsche Plano. And I know you guys have Porsches. I'm sure that you're all driving around with Porsches. Anyway,
do you have a Porsche?
We covered this last week.
I drive a Tesla.
That was yours outside. So next time, you know, Porsche. It's okay. Porsche's coming out with their own 100% electric vehicle.
Great.
Next March, called the Taycan. It's really amazing. But Porsche is really cool. When I was in New York, I thought that, you know, there'd be a ton of Porsches in New York, you know, from the Long Island, the area that I was from was pretty affluent. So there were, you know, there were a couple Porsches here and there. And I come to Texas and like, there's so many Porsches. I'm like, what is going on around here?
I can't drive a Porsche. I'd kill myself. I love fast cars.
I'll let you drive my
car. I can't
car.
Even like tempt myself with a Porsche.
You should drive mine after the show. I have a 911, so you could drive it. Anyway, the Porsche Plano people are excellent. Please, if you're looking for a Porsche, that type of automobile in that type of category, please contact Porsche Plano. And then a shout out to Bloomly, our newest sponsor. GetBloomly.com is they're not a florist, but they actually work hand in hand with their clients. So you can get like a subscription to get flowers delivered to your homes like every 2 weeks. Very reasonable. He does a lot of corporate events. He's a North Texas company. GetBloomly.com if you're interested in getting flowers delivered to your house, but not from the florist type. I mean, he actually handpicks his stems and puts the arrangement together. There are some arrangements on his website at GetBloomly.com. So that's our sponsors. We're back. We are really hitting it. I do want to ask Jared a couple things from the gun control side of things. The majority, you know, a recent Quinnipiac poll in February of 2018, 97% of American voters and 97% of gun owners support more universal background. 67% support a nationwide ban on assault weapons. 83% support mandatory waiting periods for guns. I'm not going to go through all of them, but it seems like the environment right now for most Americans is to have better background, better checks. What's your position on that?
I don't know that I believe the accuracy of that poll, but
I can tell you
if
I can tell you my personal poll. Like I said, back to my raising and my husband's side of the family, I'll tell you the winds have changed in the families because they're frustrated, which I did not think. I mean, my own sister, who is a hardcore hunter gun owner, was commenting. So even for me personally, my immediate family has changed their mindset on some of this based off our new society. So
what would be the difference? I guess I have to answer your question with a question.
Sure.
What would be the difference between the background checks that we have now versus what you would want to have? Because remember, we have to trust our government to report correctly. So in the last few mass shootings that we've had, right, it's could have been prevented if the government did their job. And I'm sorry, but our government can't even run an effective DMV. So how are we going to trust them?
She hit the DMV in North Texas. That's a big win.
It does take a long time to get through the line.
That is no joke.
Lauren, how would you respond to that?
No, I think that the universal background check is to close that loophole for private sellers, you know, so that you can't just sell it to your neighbor, your friend, and not do a background check. And maybe it wouldn't have an impact on mass shootings, but I do think it would have an impact on domestic abusers who can get their hands on guns and suicide rates, which really are the mass of most of the gun violence in the country. I mean, mass shootings are a very small piece of it. They're big news, but they're a very small piece of the gun violence in this country.
Oh, there you go, Carmen.
Yeah. I mean, the data shows that suicides are 2/3, and I think domestic violence is...
I mean, domestic violence is really... what the media is not talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when we start stepping on liberties, we start stepping on women, which is my passion, right? Women being able to effectively combat and equalize themselves to their aggressor. And that is a travesty. 100% travesty.
And the problem is, though, when there's a gun in the home, that it's not necessarily the abuser has access to the gun just as much as the
That's
abusee.
True. And that's where, once again, the education piece comes in. Okay. So people like me, right, got to go in and we got to get a hold of these women, right? So I volunteered in the past at domestic abuse shelters. And so I've seen firsthand, my mother was a domestic abuse victim. I've been a domestic abuse victim. You have to go into these places where these women are. You have to meet them where they are. You have to be able to relate to them, and you have to instill confidence of defense into their soul. That's what you have to do. Okay. And that, when you change hearts and minds, just like I read a piece that you wrote, I think for the Dallas Morning News, mm-hmm. and you had me for about half of it. Okay. Like when you started talking about red flag laws, I was like, okay, Jesus, help me out here. But the whole first part of it, I was on board. I'm like, me and this chick are going to get along. Okay?
So I have a question.
And because you were talking about inclusion, you were talking mm-hmm. about, it's not just about diversity. It's about inclusion. It's about changing hearts and minds. It's the same general concept mm-hmm. here. We got to meet them where they are. We got to instill the confidence that they can take care of themselves, and we got to help them make better decisions.
I have a question for you. So what do you have to say about, I mean, there's a certain mentality all over this topic. What about those people that are all for constitutional carry? Let me own as many automatic weapons. Let me please have as many bump stocks as I want because it is my right. What do we have to say? What do you have to say about that? Is that responsible? I mean, is it? I watched this video the other day. This kid printed a bump stock. I mean, and so what do you have to say about that? Is perhaps maybe some gun owners partially a part of the problem?
Well, you know, oh, okay.
Wow.
Listen,
this
you can
crazy.
Take
we gotta get
you.
A bigger bell,
you have to hold. If you're gonna hold gun control advocates accountable for their misinformation and them wanting to step on the liberties of Americans, you have to hold the second. You have to hold you and they
oh,
are.
Lauren
and
looks
they
like
are.
She wants to say.
But you. But in turn, you also have to hold the Second Amendment community and the gun community accountable for the stupid things they say from time to time too. Okay, this is a serious thing. This that just because the Second Amendment is your right doesn't mean that it doesn't hold weight. It doesn't mean that it isn't a heavy, responsible burden, and you have to take it very seriously. And that's why I keep coming back to education. If you're not willing to take the time to get to the gun range, to practice, to learn from people who know what they're doing, to be inclusive of all people that the Second Amendment is supposed to protect, which is everybody, which is the LGBT community, which is the African-American community, which is the trans community. It doesn't matter. It's for you because you have a right to live. You better start taking responsibility for that, and you better start learning the things that you need to know, and you better start putting that out into the world instead of just talking about this is my right.
Lauren, what do you have any?
No, I mean, responsible gun ownership is the main piece, and it's how do we get there? How do we get to responsible gun ownership, right? And you're talking about it in the private sector, but the private sector is not consistent across the country. So that's where the government steps in, is to keep things consistent across the country.
No, you have to give it to the free market, and we have to get more gun ranges out there. We have to get more facilities for learning out there. We have a lot of universities. We have a lot of places for learning.
Best interest in
that is not
their
true.
Their best interest is the bottom line.
That is not true.
We see that every single day. The private sector's most interested in their bottom line. It's
that
not,
is not
in
true.
Our protection. It's not in our liberties. It's
you go talk well, to how, you Jared. Go to talk to Tal Pacito. You go talk to the owner of Eagle Gun Range. You talk to Joseph and Jared Stanier. They care about making sure that people know the truth and that people have a good education in this realm. And the more prevalent that education is, I'm telling you, you'll see a difference.
Jared, I think we all agree on education. I think we can do it like that. But I'm saying, I think what Lauren's trying to say is you can't mandate someone to get educated on gun control, on their gun and the ability
she
to
She was
shoot.
Just trying to do
we
that.
We just had
no,
that
I'm
question
you
on
can
Facebook.
Mandate it and you need
we
to.
Just had, we just had a question on Facebook. Does the pro-gun person support mandatory training or liability insurance? And we have another one that says, why is this uniquely an American issue?
Yes, absolutely.
We'll let Jerry answer the question on mandatory training and liability insurance, because I agree with you. I think the more educated people are when they own a gun, the better. And the more practice, I agree with you. The more I practice.
So we have to stop suppressing and oppressing the gun industry's ability to get that education out to the public. We can't even on social media, we can't even boost in anything that has to do with guns, right? We just now, I had to fight tooth and nail with Facebook to allow them to let me boost gun classes, like people teaching people gun safety classes. And so we have to stop oppressing the gun industry, because that's what they want to do.
Well,
nobody wants to
oppressed.
Sell guns.
That's a new one for me. That's
nobody wants to sell
one.
Guns on Facebook. That's not what they're asking to do. And if you wanted to mandate that, if you wanted to say, well, you can't sell guns on Facebook, fine. That's not what they're trying to do. They want people to be able to get this education and for it to be more prevalent. And now, and so social media is trying to, and Google and all these companies are trying to suppress that. And you can't do that and then expect people to learn gun safety.
Well, that's Facebook and Google's prerogative, right? They are a private company. They can suppress whatever they want to suppress.
They sure can, but that's not in the interest of the best interest of the public.
The gun industry is being suppressed. I mean, the gun industry is lobbying and funneling so much money into politics to prevent any further gun regulation. They're definitely in control of this.
Well,
although Moms Demand Action is finally reaching a point where they're on a level playing field with the NRA as far as
it's
how much money they can pull in.
It's a for-profit product also. It's not like this is somebody's doing it out of their civil right either.
No, but so, what Jara's trying to say is she's trying to promote education so people that have that opportunity to get firearms are educated.
Get that.
But my question is, if someone gets a firearm, Jara, they don't have to be educated. Their liberty is to get that firearm. And I think the position that Lauren's saying is okay. I'm okay. And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to speak for anybody here. But they get their firearm and then they're not educated and they leave their firearm loose on their night table or they let it available to
leave it in their car.
In their car.
So what do we do about that, Jared, to make sure that, okay, our Second Amendment is protected. We can get a firearm. We went through the background check, but they don't want to be educated. How do we?
I mean, equate it to healthcare, right? I mean, we have private healthcare in this country.
Well, we go DMV, healthcare. We're really put them off.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of regulations in this country that we can equate to conversation.
Ahead.
So, but we have a safety net for people who can't afford the private education or the private health care. We have public facilities, not so much in Collin County, but, you know, Parkland or whatever. That's the net. So you would need some kind of a public safety net that the government runs for the people who don't get the private sector education. And it should be a requirement because we want to make sure that gun owners are responsible for their weapons.
Like I said, that's the only thing I would ever think of even remotely trying to support would be education. But they won't do that because I think at the end of the day, the goal, and it may not be your goal, but it's a goal of people who are running this narrative, is to disarm the public. And I'm sorry, but the gun community as a whole, and I think Americans as a whole, don't want to turn into Venezuela. And that's just the deal. And we can't, they work for us. We are America.
Yeah,
and
but
we
right
deserve,
now they're not working for us. We talked about this before we got on this show.
Yeah, right. I think both parties are
money and politics is preventing anything from happening. It's the public sentiment is not being reflected in the legislation that's coming out of state and federal governments because there is so much money in politics and we have to get that money out before we can actually have a public sentiment being reflected.
So let me ask,
that's why they can actually work for us. Yes, and that's why you are in such a unique, amazing position in what you do, because you came here from a state that doesn't have great gun rights. You moved yourself into a position of leadership, and I really feel like you would make a huge difference if you were saying, "Hey, instead of talking about let's ban gun shows from Allen, let's talk about why you need to be educated, because you're a gun owner yourself. So encourage your community to get educated. Encourage people like me and other really, really good trainers to come in and educate the public and change these hearts and minds instead of taking tools away. That doesn't even work for teenagers.
As an outsider, because I didn't know she did any of that with Allen or whatever. I didn't know that you were counsel, but I am more interested in knowing why we should get gun shows out of cities, because
I don't think we should.
Okay, well, but we can agree that a large percentage of the public does. And why is it just solely because they have guns inside of them? Because I don't think that's it. Like you had said earlier that there's no loophole in gun shows, but that's not what I have been told. My sister.
Well, they call it the gun show loophole because they have a lot of private sellers that wander around and sell privately without the federal background check regulation.
Right.
It's just a term to make it sound. It's not that every gun show seller doesn't use the background check.
That's
where you see a lot of private sellers that are avoiding the background check.
So what about making there be mandatory background checks at gun shows?
There are already.
There are.
I mean, when you buy from a seller like a gun store that has an FFL at a gun store at a gun show, they have their computers set up there and they have to run
it. Lauren, I need you to tell me why a gun show is a threat outside of whatever this loophole thing is,
it all goes back to the culture of guns. I mean, we have over the last several decades, this culture of guns has gone over the top in this country. I mean, the NRA,
in my opinion,
the NRA has funneled so much money into what I perceive as propaganda around guns and the Second Amendment, and even into legal opinions to sway the federal court. I mean, we didn't have an affirmation of the individual right to own guns until 2008, right? The Second Amendment, that's from the founding fathers. 2008 was when the Supreme Court finally affirmed the individual right to own guns. So for 200 years prior to that, there wasn't there was no affirmation of the individual right to own guns.
Well,
so the NRA has.
I was going to say.
The affirmation comes from the Bill of Rights, not that Supreme Court.
No, I'm saying that the court interpretation, because that's where.
I don't need the Supreme Court interpretation. I have the Bill of Rights. I mean, it's great that they did that.
That's what the court is for, is to interpret the law.
I have my Constitution right here, but the Second Amendment says it in two sentences.
So the people who actually
talks about a well-regulated militia, and it's very
meaning a well-trained militia.
It's very unclear from the writing because it's such an interesting format.
The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
But it also says a well-regulated militia,
meaning a well-trained militia, not separated, an educated militia,
and it's not separated by a period. There are several commas in there.
That's
it's poor, poor grammar. It's very unclear. You know, when you go back to the Federalist Papers and the initial intentions of this, they were talking about, they didn't even have a national standing army at that point. They had these state militias, and they're talking about those particular state militias that you would bring your personal gun and you would be trained and you would be uniformed in order to protect the state that you lived in. And
but you're
it's
not
basically
debating
it's
that
turned
today,
into a national guard.
We can't debate that because I really feel like the public is just frustrated.
Right. And the public is frustrated because our public sentiment is not being reflected in legislation.
We've gotten sloppy with our ownership, friends. That's what we're here. That's the
problem.
Well,
Jer agrees to that.
I mean, we're all agreeing that education is part of the solution.
I think
there are more prongs to this. I mean,
I see a solution already. I think we should just go to Washington. I think from what I'm hearing, my guest should correct me, is after the background checks and all this other stuff that they should get a certificate that they have to get from a gun club that says they've been taught the use of how to handle the firearms. Would you be acceptable to that if they had that little certificate that said, hey, they went through their course and now they can carry?
I mean, having required education before you can be licensed to own, I think that that's definitely a step in the right direction, but I would like to see it consistent across all the states because then you know that everyone in this country is
That's going to be hard to do.
I think consistency, to her point, would make a lot of things easier. But the gun community, a lot of people in the gun community already say that this is just another tax, right? This is just, and don't even get me started on like the tollway and stuff like that. But that's their mindset is this is just another way for them to get, that's why Texas didn't pass constitutional carry in the last legislation. They just lowered the state fee for you to get a license because they wanted to continue to have that revenue.
So could the argument be made that the reason so many anti-gun people are looking to the gun people to figure out a solution is because you made the mess, now how are you going to clean it up? Because we are where we are. And in my opinion, isn't it responsible to turn to those who own and want to own these things to correct an issue, unless people are willing to say we don't currently have an issue?
I think it's very clear that we do have an issue. And when you look at us compared to other countries, our homicide rates are.
Then shouldn't it be the leaders like the NRA and all the people that brought these things to us? Shouldn't it be their responsibility to figure out how to fix this? I'm sorry.
Well, the NRA.
I'm approaching this from a very logical, very broad. Oh my gosh, it is not rocket science.
But the NRA represents gun manufacturers.
And it's not. And the NRA, to her point.
Yeah, they're not going to bring logical solutions when they want gun manufacturers.
Why can't we make Jera be in charge of the NRA?
Yeah, we want
I want to be in charge of the NRA.
NRA used to be a very reasonable organization.
They did.
It wasn't until the 80s that they started going crazy.
She is so right. And I'll say it right now. The NRA is a bureaucratic mess right now, and it's of their own doing. And it's a huge example of how absolute power corrupts absolutely. You got to have term limits.
That was in our show.
I think Lauren and Jen need to walk out of this room and get together and figure it out.
Well, and I think we can.
I think it goes back to the money in politics. NRA has poured so much money into our politics that we are beholden to them, which is essentially being beholden to gun manufacturers. I mean, we need to come back to we the people. What is the public sentiment? What does the public want? And like you said, 97. I thought it was 90, but I guess different polls, different numbers. But still, the overwhelming majority of the public wants stronger gun regulation.
With
or enforcement, really, of what we
already have. Of course, you still have the right to own it, But you have to pass a background check. Maybe you have to have a waiting period. Maybe you have to have a little bit of education and a license.
Do an online course.
Maybe you have to have insurance. You know, there's, and maybe you restrict what kind of weapons people are available. I mean, I'm just saying these are the kinds of things that gun sense advocates are looking at. And I do think that it's a combination of things. There isn't one law that's going to solve the problem. There are several laws that need to work in concert. And having laws in general does impact behavior. People are law-abiding citizens.
If they
most of us are law-abiding citizens. So when a new law comes online, even if it's something that we're not used to, like a seatbelt, we start doing it.
Right. We have to get the political pundits out.
Because most of us are law-abiding citizens.
And I agree with you, Lauren. And that's what Common Ground is really all about, is to bring two different opinions. And that's what we've seen today, that you guys actually
agree
on a
lot. I have loved both of you.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we need in government, that two sides can sit down without playing the politics game.
Speak for the people.
And speak for the people. Like you said, Lauren, we the people. And I'm sure Jared agrees. We the people.
Well, and if you have a poll that, you know, like we're talking about, if you say 90 or 95 or 97% of people want, you know, more gun control or more regulation or background checks. It's background checks, right?
Frustrated.
Right. But I think if you also polled the American people, what would be the percentage of the American people that would say they trust their government? And that's the question. Okay. Mm. Here it is. That's the question, is we have to be able to trust our government to do their jobs by reporting the correct things and by enforcing these laws. And here's the thing. Yeah. And that's why
the
turbulence thing comes into play. And so I think that's the biggest question, is you have to think to yourself as a gun owner, because you are, right? You
are. We do own.
Okay. And are you?
Yes, ma'am.
And are you?
Yes,
and I am. So we have to say to ourselves, and this was a question that I saw, you know, a young lady asked the other day on social media, is, do you trust your government 100% not to infringe on your liberties, your property rights, to take away anything that you own? Do you trust them 100%? Because if the answer is no, and I promise you the answer is no, we don't even need to worry about that.
Well,
I don't trust them.
Go ahead, Lauren.
If we didn't trust our government, we would be having a revolution right now. I mean, you're seeing it around the world. Look at Hong Kong. They don't trust their government, and there's millions of them in the streets.
Because they want what we have.
Good point.
They want what we have.
What we have is fragile, though, and we need to protect it by bringing the vote back to the people instead of having big money.
And not stepping on liberties and getting term limits.
Bringing the information back to the people, which, quite honestly, I think we are helping.
Well, we do want to show
online. I think we have a lot of information, but our vote is not impacting legislation.
And because a lot of people aren't voting.
Well, that's a whole other topic that we can get into.
Because they don't know what information is real, which is why...
The media is awful. The media is 100% awful. And that's why I love this. Like, I love being able to come in here in this environment and sit with someone like you who doesn't have the same opinions as I do.
Someone like me.
And sitting... have my opinions, but that can sit here and go, listen, we can figure this out together. We can find the common ground. I love that. And I would love to talk to you again.
Let the audience know that after each one of our shows, and Sherry can attest.
Oh, I love it.
Our guests stay between 20 and 30 minutes after the show to discuss their opinions. It's really enlightening.
It's so interesting.
It's really cool.
And on that point, I mean, this Sunday I'm having a polarization discussion where I'm trying to bring people from all different sides together into one room so you can talk face to face about issues and how polarization is affecting our culture. Because right now we are seeing people kind of going to their corners, right?
They stand on their platforms and they bark with it.
And
it's a one-way conversation.
When you're face to face with somebody, it's much more difficult to be vile or vitriolic like you are on Facebook.
I want to go.
So I have an event on Sunday with a moderator. I'm not
Tell
the
us
moderator.
Where it is real quick.
Oh, it's at the Allen Library, but I'm sorry, the tickets are all sold out.
Oh, Jesus, Lauren.
Do it. I'm going to be doing it on a regular basis.
We get a press ticket, right?
No press. I don't want people to be uncomfortable about just speaking their minds, but the point is we're going to have a moderator keeping people on track so that everybody can say how they're feeling right now and hear from the other side and hear that we're all human beings. We all want
to
feel safe.
I hate to cut you there because we have 30 seconds left. I just want to thank our guests, Jarrah Hutchins and Lauren Daugherty, for coming in, discussing this great topic. I think we need a part two on this one.
We always
thank you for being awesome.
Hopefully we'll get you guys back here seriously for a part two. Thank you for listening today. If you want to see previous shows or listen, commongroundtx.com. Thanks to our sponsors, Elevated Roofing, Porsche Plano, and getbloomly.com. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.